At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hard-working ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free stews, the only pet food with Red Barn Bully Sticks.
Connection with Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes Digital Podcast and Naked Girls Radio. The song you just heard at the top of the hour is called Heated by Tara Lynn, and I spoke with her over on Twitter. She's awesome, amazing voice. I'll be playing another one of her songs a bit later throughout the broadcast, and I will begin this evening's part two of Slow Erotica, Slow, S-L-O, Sandra London Official Erotica, part two, with the story The House That Fucked Me. And that was published on my website, livinggrind.com, on May 23rd, 2013. So I will get to that momentarily. But while I get ready, I will play another song by Tara Lynn called, geez, where'd it go? Cherry Moonshine. Here we are. Showing you off. and I was inside of you damn near every night. I took care of you, made sure your needs were met. Hell, I cooked, cleaned, made sure you knew you were special. I hated being away from you for too long, and I think you knew it too. But you were always there, waiting, patiently. You were better than all the others. My friends would come round and say as much, in your presence even. You were always just the right size, a perfect fit, snug, yet you always gave me my space and knew where and when I would need it the most. You were the only one for me. Then, somehow, things changed. I got busy, but I never made enough. I couldn't keep up with you. And, well, you changed, too. Granted, these things are bound to happen, but I failed to notice for far too long until it was too late. You weren't nearly as cheerful as before, not nearly as snug. However, I always blame it on myself. I really did do the best I could. It just wasn't enough. At times, you'd moan, you'd sigh, and every now and again, you damn near fell apart. But every day, or damn near, I'd always come back to you. Then bam, it happened right in front of me. I thought that I would have you for forever, but very few things are ironclad, infinite, and guaranteed. Yes, I looked elsewhere every now and again, but I loved you still, and I still do. I'm more than ashamed to admit that I can no longer have you. Day one. And now I'm driven out in the cold to start all over again. But I don't want another you. There's nothing I can do. I know that someone else will take my place. I know that I am powerless before you. I can only hold on to you for so long. I must resign myself to my fate, which is to be without, and to be without you. You, to whom I gave my heart, soul, blood, tears, sweat, and dreams. You, who cradled me, swathed in your quiet strength and seemingly limitless loyalty. Up until I had nothing left to give. I will miss you and all the good times we've shared. No one else will replace what we had. Still, I must surrender and turn in my walking papers. My heart, I bid you adieu. I have no other choice but to move on and start all over again, even if no one else will ever feel like you do. To the house that Jackson built from your Casanova, Jax. The end. And that was published on liveandgrind.com, a.k.a. to liveandgrindnla.com on Saturday, May 25th, 2013. Here's your next song, Chains of Love by Maxim Zenon.
Open steel, submits to heat, its will is broken when hammers heat, trial by fire, from the mold, into waters quenching cold. Time after time, hand in glove, we are forging chains of love. Love brings you up, drags you down, makes you feel just like a clown. Cut to pieces, then you are spliced, crushed by jaws of the wise, wrapped around anvil's horn, cut with chisel, killed and reborn. Chains of love, chains of love.
The song you just heard is called Happening for Lulu, and it's by Kraus, K-R-A-U-S, Kraus, from Free Music Archive. Okay, next story up is number 11, and the second story for this evening, and it's called The Lady in the Window, and it was published on Tuesday, October 30th, 2012, on livinggrind.com. And here we are. The Lady in the Window. Yeah, she only wants for me. She bleeds bright golden tokens from her standing stiff army. The lady in the window, as naked as can be. She's hiding in my box for the whole wide world to see. The lady in the window, she is my one and only fan. She sends me soiled sundry. I give her all I can. The lady in the window, my broadcast fantasy. And once she hits her goal, it will be them and her and me. Tonight I'll have her all for me. In my dreams, she's always free. The end. That is The Lady in the Window. And next up is The Lady of Death. And I will do that one right after this very next song. I will play History Eraser by Courtney Barnett, and then I'll be right back with you. My call number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And next up is The Lady of Death after History Eraser by Courtney Barnett.
We only live once, so we die.
That was History Eraser by Courtney Barnett. I found that over on Free Music Archive. And up next, I will do The Lady of Death, which was published on livinggrind.com on Saturday, July 14th, 2012. It is a night like any other, or at least it starts out this way anyways. At about 3 a.m., the phone rings abruptly. Our dear Madeline is stuffed into a tiny, tight black tank top. With skulls, a brown leather ball gag is lodged firmly between her pink, puckered lips. Billy's large, veiny cock is poised and freezes mid-plunge into Madeline's tight, pert rear. Maddie lunges forth, propelling her lean, slender body towards the nightstand. Grasping earnestly for the VoIP receiver, the phone continues to chime incessantly, filling her boudoir with its inane, persistent refrain. "Ugh!" Maddie gasps, releasing the ball gag, as she feels Billy's wood spontaneously unleash its hot, wet venom inside of her. Billy's spillage begins to trickle down the smooth curve along the crease of her buttocks. It continues its descent, painting proud white streaks along her fishnet-clad inner thighs. "Fuck!" Billy straightens up, extracting his prematurity with caution and retreat. He falls backwards into a crumpled heap onto the silk spread beneath him. "Sorry," Maddie hisses an apology over her shoulder, waving her bare bottom seductively in Billy's direction. "Yes, yes," she continues. "I could make it there in about, oh, say 20, 30 minutes sooner." She pauses, sighing quietly. "Really?" Billy mouths back, sitting back up on Maddie's four-poster bed. Billy is momentarily bewildered. He stares intently at his newly minted main squeeze. "Yes, I see." Maddie regains her composure. "I will be there just as soon as I can." "I'm on my way. I'll hurry. I just need to call for a cab." "Yes, uh-huh. And the address, please?" Maddie grabs her notepad and pen, always at the ready, on her nightstand. Maddie hangs up. "Oh, I see. You're working, eh?" Billy jeers with a sardonic grin. "Billy, baby, you've known this since day one," Madeline chides impatiently, searching in vain for baby wipes with which to catch the remnants of Billy's progeny. "Will you be here when I get back?" Madeline switches gears flirtatiously as she scampers off, making a beeline for the shower. "Maybe," Billy draws out slowly with feigned indifference. Billy slinks back beneath the silken sheets and gathers Maddie's large zebra-patterned velvet throw. He lifts it up and over himself, burrowing his head completely. Billy's pride and joy now lies with sticky, sweet submission between himself and the mattress. Goo. Madeline scrubs herself down as thoroughly and quickly as possible. "Babe," she calls out, "can you call down to the doorman for a cab, pretty please?" "Alrighty then," Billy grunts and reaches for the call button on the nightstand. "Oh, lordy," Madeline chirps, shivering from the waft of cold air that envelopes her naked body. Opening her wardrobe, loosens a towel about Maddie's bulbous breasts. With a soft thud, it hits the floor in one fell swoop. "Ugh," she moans wearily. "I could just die," she cracks, as she rummages around her dresser for something decent to wear. "Yeah," Billy perks up half-heartedly from beneath the sheets. "'Cause I killed that shit." Plunge. "Ha. Ha. Such a funny, funny man. My darling pretty." Madeline rolls her eyes as she teases him mockingly. "Go to sleep," she commands cheekily. She pauses to delight in the stirrings arising from his boastful proclamation. It compels the most wicked instant replay, engulfing her underbelly passionately and without warning. Her pussy trembles. Clutching her overcoat in one hand, Madeline leans down and peels back the zebra throw with the other. She kneels down hastily and kisses Billy's cheek, hoping to stifle the animalistic desire threatening to overwhelm her. He squirms initially and then smiles broadly with his eyes still closed. "See you whenever," Billy offers weakly as he succumbs more and more to dreamland. Madeline murmurs affirmatively before grabbing her gear, notepad, and house keys on her way out of the door. Madeline barrels down the winding staircase, duffel bag in hand. She pulls back her raven black tresses, scooping them up into a slick updo and smoothing the loose strands neatly behind her ears. "Good morning." Roger, the burly but affable doorman, greets Maddie good-naturedly. "Top of the morning to you, young man," Madeline responds cheerfully, greedily eyeing the mug of cafe mocha Roger has set out for her in the lobby. Picking up the coffee carefully, Maddie smiles and thanks Roger as she heads out to the street, hastening towards the taxi. "Off to the races," Maddie salutes Franklin, the cabbie, with a smile as she slides into the back seat, setting her bag beside her. "Where to, madame?" Franklin winks. 176 Jonestown Drive, please, sir," Maddie replies, circling the scribbled address slowly with her neatly manicured nails. She grabs her pen from her jacket pocket and notes the time, 3:17 a.m. Her chosen destination is not a far cry from her own neighborhood, but it may as well have been. Figuratively, they are worlds apart. Madeline has come to prefer this live-work segmentation. At home, she likes vanilla. Safe. Boring. At work, she likes excitement. The thrill. Mystery. To get lost and found again. Darkness and light. Clarity. Repose. Chaotic silence. As she exits the town car, Maddie offers a warm farewell to Franklin, tipping a bit more than usual for having delivered her in record time to Jonestown Drive. She approaches the dilapidated housing tenement with no delay. Looking down at her notepad, she reads down further. 176 Jonestown Drive, apartment 13. Maddie looks back up and notes the call box with faded lettering to the left of the entryway. Gulping down the last bit of mocha from her mug, she buzzes apartment 13. A baritone voice responds curtly. "Yes?" "Madeline Wells, crime scene investigator," Maddie calls out into the night. The end. And that is, that was written on Friday the 13th. July 13, 2012, at 4:30 p.m. by yours truly, Sandra London, and then published on livinggrind.com on the 14th, Saturday, July 2012. Voila. And for your next song, I'll do Houdini Act by Mongrel, and the next story coming up is The Lot of Lizards, actually more of a poem. That'll come up next for you. But here you are, Houdini Act by Mongrel.
One thing and it's another, all too real to be pretend.
Houdini Act by Mongrel. And up next right now, I will do The Lot of Lizards, and it was published on livinggrind.com on Monday, October 3rd, 2011. Eileen's just set up shop, and she's new. You've only to hand over her due. She'll swing her ass round and her panties right on down till you've humped, till you've pumped, till you're blue. The end. That was dedicated to Eileen Warnos. Voila. I'm going to do Icky Icky, the song Icky Icky by Marc Angelo, and then just after that I will do No Dispatch. So that's coming up next.
Oh. Let's lavish. It's for my ladies. Yeah, her taste expensive. Oh, she's so picky, icky. Got them tricking on that pussy. How she so tricky, icky. Looking so sexy. I got that stiffy, iffy. Let me crawl up in that nookie. Call me itty bitty. Wanna get lifted? Come roll this spliffy, iffy. Wanna get tipsy? I get so trippy, iffy. She drippy, saying that she don't want no hickeys. You could kiss me, but hurry up. I got her wet
she
like a whip. Yeah, stiffy, iffy. She wanna ride and roll that sticky, icky. Oh, she got that alley and she licky, icky. Lickin' at me, she want that quicky, icky. She want that quicky, icky. Say she want licky, icky. Say the mother niggas iffy, iffy. She gon' ride it and roll that sticky, icky. Looking at me, she want that quickie icky. She want that quickie icky. Yeah, I pet that kitty itty. I know you like it. Rubbing that titty itty. Got you excited. Get that sticky icky. You invited to my city itty. Come through, shorty, I ain't with the chitty chitty. Oh yeah, that pussy so pink. Oh, that's so pretty itty. Go so hard when I beat it, I feel no pity itty. Hit me up and I pick you up like a willy yilly. Get you silly. She say the mother niggas iffy iffy. She wanna run and roll that sticky icky. Oh, she got that lolly and she licky icky. Lickin' at me, she want that quickie icky. She want that quickie icky. So she want licky icky. Say the mother niggas iffy iffy. She gon' ride it and roll that sticky icky. Looking at me, she want that quickie icky. She want that quickie icky.
I like that sticky icky. Oh, my baby don't smoke, she on that sippy iffy. She be down for whatever when she get tipsy issy. I give a quickie dicky, a tipsy limpy impy. And then I eat her like honey, like my name Winnie Innie. Oh, I make her shake, oh, she so glissy yessy. I call her Icky Vicky, oh, she so icky. We get it poppin' in the bitty with the tenties. Can't nobody see us 40-20.
The mother niggas iffy iffy. She wanna run and roll that sticky icky. Oh, she got that lolly and she licky icky. Licking at me, she want that quicky icky. She want that quicky icky. So she want licky icky.
Slippery might catch me slippy. Pop out a kitty. Ain't nothing wrong with it as long as you go one half with me. Just kidding, just kidding. Don't get offended, just forget it. And let's make love like the world is ending.
Licky icky, licky icky. Say the mother niggas iffy iffy, iffy iffy. She gon' ride it and roll that slippy iffy. Roll that, looking at me, she want that quickie icky, quickie. Oh.
That was Icky Icky by Marc Angelo. And it sounds like Dionysus is in there. But yes, Marc Angelo, Icky Icky. Alrighty. I will do No Dispatch now, which was published quite recently. This is the most recent erotic story that I published on my website, livinggrind.com. That was published on Thursday, June 12th, 2014. No Dispatch. At 0400 hour 17 on 18 April 1911, I had about come undone. Finito. Cooked. Over. I know this now. You won't. It is what is in the writing that counts, above all things. Deceased, Jane or John Doe. Time of death, 0100 hours, 20. There's 3 whole hours in there, or just about. And one or more others are there about. I remember my hair down to there, everywhere. My tongue, my tears, my tits, my pussy, pretty skull. The cold, darkness, the order. Lean back, look up, eyes closed. Wrap your lips round. Sealed, skin tight. The light, ugh, lights. Harsh, gross, so profane, so brilliant. My double D's. Mais moi je ne pose pas, monsieur. I shield my brights in polite society. Merci bien. Sacré bleu. The smoke. The probe. A rescue. A seizure. Your hands. My waist. A pleasant plop. Aplomb. Eternal warmth. Then abandon. A hover. A tunnel. Alien and alone, all at the same time. Color blind, colorless. A heady omnipresence of gray, gray, gay. A cockfest catastrophe with no end, no sight. Some savior, some witness. A messenger, a call for agency, familiarity. Long pause, vile accusations, pressure, a lift, long pause, restraint, a faceplant, long pause. I wail, I plead, mercy, release, an ear, an end, long pause. I dread the blur, the weight, a fluid time. I seek connaissance. I could be more than me, possibly. 1 in 1 nights, 1 in 2 nights, maybe less, maybe more. Let's see. A producer, if you will. Produce, if you must, or insist, but never. Not ever a director, a dwelling per se, perchance, curtilage included, a box within a box, packaging, born at sea, submission, born in the air, this box squared, unready made display, this play, window lady, window girl, Wonder Woman, LMP, and okay? Look at, talk at, written around, written without, stamped within, shrouded in code, valued at 1/9, maybe 2/9, but never is one. Time of birth, 0400 hours, 17. Time of death, 0100 hours, 20. Rewind. A still life. The end. That was No Dispatch. On livinggrind.com, you can see that, which was published on Thursday, June 12th, 2014. Up next, I will do our little diss. In the meanwhile, I'll check out this song, I'm From That, by Mr. Frizzo.
Frizzo, baby! Frizzo, baby! I'm from that. DJ, let that run back. I'm from that. DJ, let that run back. I'm from that. DJ, let that run back. I'm from that. DJ, let that run back.
I'm from that. DJ, let that run back. I'm from that. DJ, let that run back.
And that was I'm From That by Mr. Frizzo. And he has a profile over on NakedGirlsRadio.com if you'd like to check that out and more of his music. Next up, I have Our Little Diff, which was published on LivingGrind.com on Monday, May 13th, 2013. And it was inspired by a chat I was having with Indie Bear over on Twitter, JQZ Indie Bear. And so thank you out there, Indy. So here we are, Our Little Death. I'll pull you up along my smile, bring you back down under a while, fill you with life with a wisp of death, till we're both running clear out of breath, till we expire on sins and sighs, on dreams and fears upon our thighs. We'll bury deep here, counting sheep, to rise and shine in our daily grind. The end. That was Our Little Diff. And up next, I will do Pink Cookies right after this next song, Frankenstein Valentine by Sinister Fates.
Bye.
Frankenstein Valentine by Sinister Fate. And now I will do Pink Cookies Part 1, which was published on livinggrind.com on Friday, September 7th, 2012. I was having intimate relations with those gentlemen, Monticelli begins, and was this before, Fabian Holworth pauses, or after you murdered them? Excuse me? Those 12 servicemen, the deceased, those soldiers who were slaughtered as they slept in their army barracks. Lana snorts audibly, in spite of herself. You, the accused, you find all this amusing, do you? Fabian Holworth sneers menacingly, long and protractedly, embodying the well of fury he has undoubtedly incited. The maddening crowd has gathered to crow a macabre assembly at the feet of the fallen. Fabian pivots perfunctorily, swiveling half-mast in his firm, shiny black crocodile loafers. He positions himself forebodingly in front of the trier's effect. Leaning in paternalistically, he squares his back to shield the people from the face of this diabolical entity, this amoral enemy of all things pure, just, and measured. The absence of sound is deafening. Yet, despite any sign of provenance, a cool draft gradually appears to take hold and swirl about omnisciently, mingling amidst the stiflingly hot inferno. The slight breeze encapsulates the staid pallor of the halls of judgment in welcome contrast against the relentless sun on this scorching August afternoon. Would you like to explain for us here today exactly what, pray tell, you find humorous in regards to the charges of willful, premeditated homicide, Miss Soleil? Or do you wish to continue to make an absolute mockery of this court? No, sir, Lana counters. I would like only to make one thing unabashedly clear, and that is all. Lana proffers without reserve. I find you absolutely beyond belief. Lana stares straight ahead, looking directly into the statesman's parched face and blonde coif, trimmed to exacting precision. Lana mentally traces the outline of Fabian's sharp-shooting, piercing blue-green eyes, leading her visual study slowly down from the tip of his ruggedly handsome profile. She trails along the tip of his pious Roman nose to the proud jut of his Adam's apple on display. She works her way back up, right between the triangle of his profile. She peers once again into the eyes of her fate, which have hardened and narrowed into iron-fisted slits and closed off his insides. Fabian is hooded. Imperceptible to the uninitiated, it has become apparent to Lana that the veil of Fabian's mastery will remain in play perhaps a while longer. She relishes the challenge. Lana's flippant disposition attracts sharp, incessant whispers throughout the courtroom as she continues to meet the glare of the contemptuous crowd, nonplussed. She relaxes her shoulders, parts her lips, and smiles with false modesty, like a maiden in a meadow, not the shameful repose of the damned. Lana holds this same soft smile until the room is hushed once again, then stops. Lana elongates her spine and winks haughtily. Naturally, Fabian announces broadly in her direction, as he turns to face her again, positioning his body in direct proximity to her elevated position on the witness stand. Naturally, he repeats evenly, as the heat of his escalating anger begins to give rise to an involuntary stiffening of his junior member. Fabian cleared his throat uncomfortably, mid-stride, struggling to retain a semblance of civility, restraint, and undefiled impotence. Fabian has kept the public transfixed up to this juncture, their collective fury hanging on to his every syllable of condemnation, divine utterance. His sudden pauses, growls, bellows, his every inflammation, intonation, and glittering generality. Dazzling and mesmerizing. Fabian's spell is finely measured, ravenous, meticulous, and intoxicating. But now, if he could only look away. In one fortuitous meeting of the eyes, he was becoming undone. He was preparing to resume his living theater exposition. Until this instant, this had been otherwise old hat. Fabian is intending to provide a good finish, but not quite like this. As Lana's lids, etched in onyx, begin to lower slowly over her golden brown eyes, her attention is drawn down towards Fabian's midsection. Her eyes dart back up reflexively, dancing and full of impish surprise. She erupts, devolving compulsively into a hushed, raspy, girlish giggle that hastens into a feverish pitch. Lana can no longer contain her composure. Her golden brown breasts rise and fall in perfectly sculpted unison, each nipple becoming increasingly erect at the center of each mound of full, well-rounded flesh beneath her plain, loosely flowing peach blouse. Lana's mouth, inherently full and rose-colored, forms into a tightly wound circle as she allows each throaty, seasoned peal of laughter to escape her lips, unbridled. The long, thick curls of her auburn-tinted mane are thrust forward as she gives into the whims of her fit of pathological merriment. Fabian can hear the startled cacophony of the masses buzzing incessantly behind him. He can feel the weight of the curious glances of the jury across from him, the whispers swimming in waves of flurry as his head swells, making all things incongruous, absurd, and out of the realm of his control. Fabian dares not display the betrayal of his own manhood, this inexplicable stirring of vulgarity and passion, this lustful, wicked, animalistic urge to shove his seed right down deeply into Lana's pagan belly, anything to wipe that sick, sadistic grin off her pretty little face. Whatever it would take to turn that raucous body laughter into a riotous scream of release. Fabian's pants tighten painfully, accommodating his appetite. His thighs give way to the gatherings of beads of sweat and splendor. The Honorable Claudius Rutherford Napoli interjects, beating his gavel furiously from way up high. "Enough," Napoli affirms brusquely, looking pointedly at Fabian Hallworth. Lana jumps in her seat at the culmination of this intensity. Her overt derision has at least momentarily run its course. Fabian will remain immobile, ruddy, steady, flushed, swollen, mute. "That is enough for today," the Honorable Napoli concludes. The end of part one of Pink Cookies. Voila. And I will be back with Sex Drives and Dream States right after this next song, Freak Show by Cheech Marley featuring Tony Yates.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Young Giants, Cheech Marley, Tony Yates.
Girl, I like how you work them hips and thighs.
How you
dancing all around, it got me hypnotized. And you got my attention. How you drop it to the floor? All eyes on you, like you're shooting a freak. When you do that freak show. Shake it for me slow, then you split it to the floor. I'm hypnotized and glamorized by the shape of your thighs. Aroused and mesmerized, your apple bottom just right. Let's do some role playing, you pink it, I'm Wesley Pipes. Mr. Beat that thing up and tell the kitty keep the night. Even if it's hard, hit her, I don't bark, I just bite. Get it, I've been grinding all my life. You met my girl, ecstasy, she can take you for a ride. Up, away, our destination cloud nine. Why I want that nookie, is you crazy or just blind? You a five-star chick, a certified dime. You put on exotic shows when you vibe to my rhymes. All the ballers wanna hit you, tell them dudes stand in line. Get real pimp, give me your body plus your mind. And we can share this lime like 2010, be inclined.
Girl, I like how you work them hips and thighs. How you bouncing all around, it got me hypnotized. And you got my attention. How you drop it to the floor? All eyes on you. Like you shootin' a freak. When you do that freak show.
Alone, I hitchhike. Destination, anywhere. You pull over in your truck. You extend a hand to pick me up. I'm spent. You're fairly hot. I'm fairly horny. I observe you silently, listlessly. After a few hundred miles, I blow you. Exhausted, I fall asleep in your lap. Several hours later, night falls. The truck slows to a stop. You stop to check the tires. Perhaps one has gone flat. I wake up. I do not see you. Many hours must have passed. It is so very dark. I look out through the windshield. Cautiously, I grab my blanket. It is from the floor of the passenger seat. I wrap it around myself. I exit the truck. I jump down to the ground. I am afraid to announce my presence to the lonely night. Furtively, I look around. I venture towards the back of your truck. I do not see you there. I hear the music of the unknown in the wilderness before me. I hear the rustling of the trees. I hear the stirring of the leaves. Suddenly, a warm hand envelops my waist. Sweet, hot breath tickles my ears. You whisper, "Hey, baby, you all right?" This is the first time I hear you speak. Your deep, gentle voice turns me on. No further reason. Remarkably, it is cold out, even with my blanket wrapped around me. I suppose I sort of swoon, half moaning, heady in your presence. I feel your hard cock pressing defiantly, wrestling against your jeans. It is poking my blanket. I am very impressed. I'm so cold, so very, very cold. You hug me closer from behind. I feel an instant urge to abandon myself, to sink into your arms. I look back at you. I smile. You're much hotter than I remembered this close up. Wow, I coo. I reach behind me. My blanket falls away. Your arms still keep me warm. I unzip your jeans methodically. I do not want to disrupt the energy. I feel it stirring in my panties. It becomes so hard for me to breathe. My hands shiver uncontrollably. I fumble as I loosen your belt. Hesitant, I pause for a spell. I let a few seconds pass, motionless. I start again. I dive my hands greedily into your jeans. My eyes widen. I am shocked at my discovery. I am dripping wet. My arousal warms the space between my thighs. I shudder and shiver once again, without reprieve. It is no longer from the cold. I am ready for you. I want to uncover you. I imagine how you may feel deeply within. I reckon how sleepy I must have been. How did I fail to notice the drive, the beauty, the power, the smooth, solid readiness of your massively swollen cock? How could I have gone unnoticed? The consumption, my consumption, of your strong, steely weapon of love. And the recesses of my painted mouth and the pit of my yearning throat or the embedded buds of my lustful tongue. Your cock inches ever closer to my unbridled honeypot. It glides effortlessly as you part my thighs. I feel your hands engaged with my heat. You position yourself, your hungry, throbbing manhood. We solidify your stance. I inhale sharply, readying myself for the plunge. You enter the end. That was sex drives and dream states.
Temporary, it's the choices we make. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, saving the world. Look, mom, I need-o, bandido. Just the right sauce for this beat, but burrito. Ingredient list includes a four-leaf clover with a dash of Mary Jane. We can cure your hangover.
Of a good thing.
My MO is to steal the show. Carmen San Diego, movie, Fuego, David Ruffin or something from nothing. Remember when I used to rap without cussing? Shit, now I'm all on my Clay Davis. A while I with Kanye like D-Ray Davis. Najee Quad taking over your playlist. Show me your soul before Shanklin take it. Just watch, look at the time it took. All hands on deck, it's time to cook. Any beef or notch on, we'll get stomped on. Drop like one block, watch when you stop home. You rap bait like get him out of here. Cause the track whack as an item out of peer. I go ham, ain't nothing you can tell me why you boiling. Trying to clear all the jelly. Najee Quad, take a Najee Quad, take a Najee Quad.
Now that's better, baby. Why don't we sing a song to help pass the time? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is
down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily.
Hello, all you sexy naked girls radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you. Amiga, te tengo tremendo cuento. If you switch to AT&T, you can get $300 in credits when you buy a Samsung Galaxy S6 on AT&T Next and trade in a smartphone.
Wow. Why are you whispering so much? What are you talking about?
Great news. Switch to AT&T and get $300 in credits.
What?
Oh, Norma, did you hear? $300 in credits when you switch to AT&T.
Switch to AT&T and get $300 in credits when you buy a Samsung Galaxy S6 on AT&T Next and trade in a smartphone. AT&T, mobilizing your world. Limited time offers. Requires port-in eligible service and trade-in. Get $100 bill credit applied within 90 days and $200 trade-in credit, which may be a promotion card. Fees, other charges, and restrictions apply. See store or att.com/summerbuyback for details.